Sorry, we're having some problems there with the projector today. We'll get along without it. So apologize for that delay. Many things today that are happening in our world, we would have thought would never happen. Who would have thought that people who are claiming to be Christians, even preachers, would attack the notion of truth? But that's what's happening out in the religious world today. Some of the most popular and hip and growing churches in America today are questioning truth. They are wanting to remodel and revamp the church, change the way that Christians relate to one another and relate to their culture, and just redefine the way that we think about truth in general. Some people refer to it as the emergent church. Some call it the hipster church or the relevant church or the missional church. There's all different types of names out there that you hear. But they say things like, we grew up in the old traditional church, and people talked about knowing exactly what the truth was. And we just don't agree with that. The Bible is still in the center, as far as we're concerned, but the Bible is a great mystery. We grew up thinking that we had the Bible all figured out, and we knew what it meant. And so life in the church was getting so small and so restrained. But now we have no idea what most of it means, they say. And life is big again. Life is wonderful again. Now that we don't know, we see that we really don't understand what the Bible is saying. And we were told that everything was black and white, but now it's in living color. So the idea seems to be, if you listen to these men, and every one of them that we could quote from is the leader of some huge megachurch somewhere here in America today. But the idea seems to be that truth is really hazy. Truth is really uncertain. Possibly even unknowable. That we really can't know what truth is. And they're not just comfortable with any hint of certainty about what the Bible means. Even the very basic things like the gospel. It makes them uncomfortable to start talking about, we can speak with very certainty about these things. So they like to poke satire and draw a caricature of those who think they know what the truth is. Like, we have the truth captured and stuffed and mounted on the wall and freeze-dried and shrink-wrapped. And all of these terms, so that it goes neatly in the box. And they really poke fun at that idea. That truth is something that is clear and objective, and we can be confident about what the truth is. So this idea that the Christian message, the gospel and the word of God, should be so nebulous and ambiguous and pliable. That idea seems very attractive, though, to young people today who are in tune with culture and who are in love with the spirit of the age, and they can't stand to have authoritative biblical truth applied directly to their lifestyles, which often are very worldly, and the ungodly behavior that goes with it. So the poison of that perspective is seeping into the mainstream and filtering on into the church, whether we like it or not. And like I say, we would think that, I would have thought, that you'll never see that. You would never, that would never happen in a million years. And yet that is happening today in churches more and more here in America today. But that's not true Christianity. That is not true Christianity. Not knowing what you believe, not even being clear what the gospel is by definition a form of unbelief. That is by admission and a form of unbelief. That they say that they do not understand, they do not know what truth is. So refusing to acknowledge and defend truth, the revealed truth of God that is in the Bible, is actually a very stubborn type of unbelief, I believe. Advocating uncertainty and deliberately clouding the truth is a sinful enemy of the truth, and it is planting the seed of unbelief in the minds of many people today, especially young people. Every true Christian should know the truth, should love the truth. Those should be characteristics of Paul in the book of 2 Thessalonians and chapter 2 and verse 10. He said that it is a characteristic of those who perish that they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And Jesus said in John the 8th chapter, he said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So, to be a Christian in the teaching of the Bible, you have to first of all know the truth and love the truth and be set free by the truth. But we live in an age today where truth is being scorned, and perhaps more than anything ever, the words of Solomon, the wisdom that he gave back in the book of Proverbs, it has never been more timely and more needed than it is today, where he says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." That is a very needed message today. Whenever we look into the pages of God's Word, we find there that the truth is of an eternal value. Truth is God's Word revealed to us. There is nothing in the world that is more important and more valuable than the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says in verse 15 that the church is supposed to be the pillar and support of the truth. And we should not forget that when we go back into history, think of all the many hundreds of people, perhaps thousands of people, who gave their lives and accepted torture and even death rather than deny the truth of God's Word. They were considered heroes for the faith. They gave their lives for what they believed in. But that's not necessarily the case anymore today, because we have well-known leaders in the religious world today saying that they do not even know what the truth is. We recognize the fact that when it comes to martyrs, that our whole perspective of martyrs has been confused by radical terrorists and suicide bombers and the type of misguided sincerity and zeal that some of these individuals have. They call themselves martyrs, but they are suicidal murderers who kill people for not believing and joining in their own ruthless brand of theology. And that type of violent aggression is the exact opposite of the kind of martyrs that were true heroes in the history of the church. Because there is nothing heroic about what some of these radical Muslims today are doing and what they stand for. But they are a symbol of something that I think is very troubling that's happening in the world today, that is at the very core of the problems that we have in our own country and in the world today, that there is no shortage today. It seems like there is no shortage of people nowadays who are willing to kill or even to die for a lie. But there are very few people who are willing to speak up for the truth, much less die for it in our world today. To me, that is a very sad trend that's happening in our modern world that we live in. If you listen to some of the testimony of some of the true Christian martyrs who gave their lives, those men and women were brave warriors of the truth. And they were not terrorists. They were not violent people. But they fought for the truth. They stood for the truth. And they would not compromise the truth, even in the threat of their death. Because they proclaimed the truth, they defended the truth in the face of opposition. They lived lives that gave testimony to the power of the truth, the goodness of the truth. And they refused to renounce or forsake the truth, no matter what the threat was that was made against them. Starting with the apostles themselves in Jerusalem that stood for the truth and gave their lives, all except perhaps for John, who died perhaps a normal death. But even John paid a dear price for standing for the truth, because he also was tortured and he was exiled on the island of Patmos. So truth was something that those early Christians loved. It was something that they had the courage to stand for. They fought for it. And eventually many of them died for it. And they passed that legacy on to the following generations. There were men in the second century like Ignatius and Polycarp, who were friends of the Apostle John. And they both willingly gave their lives rather than deny Christ and turn away from the truth. Ignatius was personally interrogated by the emperor in Rome, the Emperor Trajan, who demanded that he would make a public sacrifice and he could save his life by making this sacrifice and pledging that his loyalty to Rome. But Ignatius refused to do that. He could have saved his life. But truth was more important to him than his own life. And so Trajan ordered him thrown to the wild beasts in the Colosseum for the amusement of the pagan crowd that was there that day. And Ignatius' friend Polycarp, a few years later, he was wanted by the authorities because they knew that he was a leader of the Christians. And he came and surrendered himself willingly to the authorities, knowing that it was going to cost him his life. He was brought into the stadium in the city of Smyrna, which was one of the seven cities of the book of Revelation, before a bloodthirsty mob that was chanting and calling out. And he was ordered to curse Christ. But he refused. He was 86 years old. And he said, 86 years have I served him, and he never once wronged me. How then shall I blaspheme my king who saved me? So he was burned alive on the spot. And in every generation, there have been those who bravely gave their lives rather than deny the truth. Well, were these people mistaken? Were they misguided in their zeal? They just didn't understand what these new intellectual scholars out in the religious world today, they didn't understand that, well, you can't know what the truth is. No one really understands what is the truth. So did these people all die in vain? We should ask ourselves, those that gave their lives for the cause of truth and the cause of Christ. We live today then in a culture where violent persecution is almost unknown in our society, in our country today. You rarely would see that happening. But there are many who call themselves Christians today, unfortunately, who have forgotten that faithfulness to the truth does cost you something to take a stand for the truth. In fact, faithfulness to the truth is always costly. In fact, in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul, he there said, "All who would suffer persecution, all who would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And Jesus, that is why Jesus said that if anyone would be his disciple, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There is a cost to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But many of the big churches out in the religious world today, some of the big mega churches, they must bear up some of this responsibility, I believe, because they have been catering to people's itching ears. And does anyone really think that many of these entertainment-hungry people, churchgoers, who pack the pews of these mega churches today, how many of those people would be willing to die for the cause of Christ? Stop and ask yourself that. Many of them are not even willing to take a stand for the truth, even among other Christians, where there is no serious threat against them. The worst thing that might happen is someone might get their feelings hurt. A lot of the popular church out today in the world seem to think that they're supposed to be playing rather than engaged in some kind of a battle for the truth. Because contending for the faith or contending for the truth is about the last thing that is on their mind today. And to them, that is such a distasteful, countercultural idea. You know, why would you want to do that anyway? Is the way some of these people think. Too many Christians have bought into the idea, I think, that almost nothing, there's almost nothing that is more uncool in the eyes of the world than for someone to show a sincere concern about the danger of false doctrine out in the world today. I mean, that is just totally uncool to do that. Christians of all people ought to be the most willing to live and die for the truth. And if we are Christians, we know the truth, and the truth has set us free, and we have received the love of the truth. And as the psalmist said, he said, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Psalm 107, verse 2. And if we were called upon to sacrifice for the truth, for the sake of the truth, we need to be willing to do that. Need to be willing, prepared, if it was necessary, to give our lives for the sake of the truth. The question today is, many people are asking, what is the truth? And when we begin to answer the question, what is truth, we first of all ask ourselves the question, is God a God of truth? Is Jesus the truth? Because Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And God is referred to many times in the Bible as a God of truth. So I believe the conclusion of that is that if someone rejects God, they reject His truth as well. If they cannot stand for the thought of God as many of the atheists in our society today, then they would reject the idea of truth. They hate the idea of truth because they cannot stand the idea of God. And those two things go hand in hand. Truth comes from God. And if we believe in God, we have to believe in a God of truth who has revealed His truth to us. And therefore, we can know what it is because God has revealed His truth to us in His Word. And the Bible says God has spoken. He has spoken. And in that, He has revealed His truth. We find that there are many, though, in the academic world today, the philosophic realm today, that have arrived to the conclusion that they no longer believe that truth is something that you can even know. And that what that does is it plants the seed of unbelief in young people. College professors, others like that, that you cannot know what the truth is. What does that do? It destroys faith in God. And it is not anything new. The idea seems to be, we have discovered something new. We've come up with something intellectual that no one ever thought of before. There's no truth. Well, it's nothing new. That idea has been around for thousands of years. That is exactly the same thing Pontius Pilate dismissed Christ. He said, "What is truth?" John 18 and verse 28. And today there are those who think they are the avant-garde. They think they are out there in the forefront of the evangelical movement today of the world. And that there is some kind of a new intellectual development happening. Just a return to the old unbelief is all that it is. We don't know what truth is. We can't possibly presume to think that we have a corner on the truth. We just want to explore our faith. We just want to discover our faith, is what they say. That's not faith at all. That is unbelief. It's refusing to believe the truth. And that is the worst kind of unbelief. So the church's responsibility, what is the church's responsibility in this? It has always been to defend the truth and to confront unbelief and to answer it and give a response to the unbelief and give an answer from God's Word, which is the truth. God has given us a clear message to confront the unbelief that is in the world. And if we are faithful to Christ, it demands for us to proclaim this message. The message of Jesus Christ. And He was crucified on the cross and raised from the dead. And that we can be saved through Him. We have to stand for the truth, though, and fight for the truth and be prepared, if necessary, to die for the truth in order to be a faithful Christian, just like other faithful Christians have in the past. Because we recognize the fact that it is really a spiritual battle with the forces of evil that is taking place. A cosmic battle between God and Satan. As Ephesians chapter 6 tells us to put on the armor of God and fight against the wiles of Satan, the devil. One of the enemy's favorite tactics is to disguise themselves as an angel of light and to work their way into the church. But today, very few Christians seem to be willing to take that threat seriously. And so the church has grown lazy and worldly and self-satisfied, and the battle seems to be going in favor of the enemy. When God gave the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, He gave the warning. He said, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." And we understand that God visits the not the sins, not the guilt of the sins on the children from the fathers, because he says that he doesn't do that, but the consequences. There is the consequence that when the parents teach their children that there is no truth. That goes on for several generations after that. And if we have a generation today that is telling young people there is no truth, that is a very dangerous thing, because it will take several generations to recover from that, the effect that that has on the lives of people. Because fathers, we leave a spiritual legacy to our children and the next generation, and the next generation after that, that what we do, what we stand for, what we believe in, what we teach, carries on after us into the next generation. And when people are saying, we cannot know what the truth is, then that is going to do a lot of harm over the next several generations before we can ever undo the harm that is doing. As church leaders, we're responsible to guard the flock, to feed the flock, to shepherd the flock. But it is the responsibility of every Christian to resist error, to resist Satan, to stand for the truth, and to recognize the fact that Satan is the father of liars, and that to not be deceived by what he is saying. We all have a responsibility to guard against that. So what was meant must be our response today to what is happening out in the world today? Because it is affecting our whole aspect of our society. And we can kid ourselves and say, well, that will never come into the church. It is already coming into the church. It is already having an effect in the church. We need to realize how serious this is when we see that truth is being under assault, both in the religious world and in the secular, non-religious world. Truth is under assault today, attacking the Bible, attacking truth. That is a serious thing for us to recognize that. The Bible is clear, and it reveals the truth of God and the truth of the gospel, that man is lost and must hear the truth in order to be saved. And we understand there have always been points of difference of understanding among people as we study the Bible. We understand that. But we in the past, we have all been able to agree on one thing, and that the Bible is the truth. And we may have some differences on what it means in some aspects of that, but we can all agree the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the truth. But today, what we're being told is, you can't even know what the truth is. Well, the fact of the matter is, the Bible is the truth, whether we understand it or not. And whether we understand it, that has nothing to do with it being the truth. It is the truth. And whether we understand it or not, whether we receive it or not, whether we believe it or not, the Bible is the truth. It's defined by what God says in the Bible. If you want to know what the truth is, open your Bible. Read it. That's where you're going to find what the truth is. But today, people are delving into all kind of subjective idea, relative thinking, coming up with almost anything that is popular in the sectarian world today, and calling it Christian. And that is a trend that I believe is a significant departure from true Christianity. Carried to its necessary conclusion, it is going to lead to the abandoning and the compromise of every essential element of the Christian faith. And we're living in a time when people do not like conflict. They don't feel comfortable speaking out and counteracting error. So it'd be easier to ignore this whole thing. Even within the church, we don't like to see conflict. But we can't turn a blind eye on error. We can't afford to. As the Holy Spirit drew the New Testament revelation toward the conclusion, there are three short epistles that are found in the closing part of the New Testament. 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. And in these short epistles, even though they are only one chapter each, they have a common theme of them of the devotion to the truth. That really stands out. In 2 John, it mentions the truth five times. And it ends up with the message in verses 7 through 11. He says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house and nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." Letter of 3 John, it uses the term truth six times in 14 verses. And in this letter, John was writing against a man by the name of Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence in the church more than he loved the church, the truth itself. But he does commend a man named Demetrius, said that he has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. And then Jude, in the epistle of Jude, which is also only one chapter, his whole point was to remind the Christians of their duty to fight for the truth. And he starts out by saying that that is not what I was planning to write about. He said, I was going to write about the common salvation, but I felt compelled to exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith which was once for all revealed to the saints. And he said, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord and our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to take those words to heart today. Be nice if we could always have just a positive message and talk about the grace of God and the riches of salvation, the blessings we have in Christ and things like that. But like Jude, I often feel compelled to return to these inspired words where he says, contend earnestly for the faith. Truth is under attack, and there's not enough people willing to stand for the truth. When we stand in the day of judgment and we stand before the Lord, we're going to have to answer for the truth. We're not going to be able to justify our indifference by complaining that, well, we just didn't want to be too negative. We didn't want to insist on things being that where, after all, it was only in doctrinal things. Therefore, it wasn't really worth the effort to get into it. Need to understand that Jesus rebuked the churches in Asia in the book of Revelation who tolerated false teachers in their midst. So we need to recall that we can be doctrinally sound and still not be a healthy church or a healthy Christian. It was like the church in Ephesus. They were sound in doctrine, but they had left their first love. And it's vital to contend for the truth, but We need to remember why we're fighting, not just for the thrill of vanquishing some foe or winning an argument, but out of genuine love for Christ. And because He is the embodiment of all that we hold true and worth fighting for. So, is truth worth fighting for? I would say we must fight for truth. We must stand for truth and realize that we have something very precious that God has revealed to us. It is the source of our salvation, the source of our faith. And we must be willing to contend earnestly when we see the truth of God's Word being put under attack as it is today in our world. So I apologize for the time that we went over this morning, but thank you for your kind attention. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song today. And if you are here and you're subject to that, and you have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, we invite you to come forward this morning as we stand together and sing the invitation.